You are listening to a sermon by Dr. Richard Topping, recorded on Sunday, December 4th, 2022, at Point Grey Intermennonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speaker are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
Thank you so much. Well, it's just a pleasure to be here today. Thank you very much, Rosie, for the invitation to be with your fellowship here on the second Sunday of Advent. Could we pray together? Let us pray. Oh God, in these days before the advent of our Lord Jesus Christ, grant us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, friends, it's the second Sunday of Advent. The time before Christmas grows shorter, and the days grow shorter, less sunlight than ever. But what a glad thing that the Sunday of joy at the greater proximity of Christmas coincides with, for most of us, the fourth and fifth rounds of vaccinations for COVID-19. Maybe joy is the dividend that anticipated healing pays in the present. Redemption draws close, and it lifts up the heart for what might be. In our lesson for today from Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul reminds the church at Thessalonica that the time is short before healing comes. The day before God comes to us to set things right in the world, to cure what ails us, to intervene, and to move into our lives are fewer now than ever. He says to the church there, the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night, and he encourages them to keep awake and be sober so that they'll be found ready when the day dawns. I think we're given these lessons at this time of the year to school us in the truth that we expect God to sweep in amongst us. The Creed says, from thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. The work begun by Christ will be a work complete by Christ at his coming. And so we get advance notice so that we'll not be found wasting time, killing time, putting in time, doing what's insignificant to God. At the time before the dawn is just about over, and so now it's time to, well, determine what's essential in life, what's important and what we can lay aside as maybe frivolous and insignificant. Like all the students at the university and at the Vancouver School of Theology are doing just now with final exams just on the horizon, they're taking shortcuts to where they need to get and making the most of every moment. With the advent of Jesus Christ right on our doorstep, what do we need to do? What has to be done? What cries out to be done, even in these challenging days of pandemic turned endemic? And if you're like most people, with no little fatigue. Well, as Advent progresses, maybe we need a things to do list. And St. Paul gives a long one at the end of the fifth chapter of 1 Thessalonians. I'm just going to look at three. He says this. We urge you, beloved brothers and sisters, admonish the idlers, encourage the faint-hearted, and help the weak, and be patient with all of them. Let me give you my paraphrase of that passage. During Advent, some people need a push, some people need a hug, and some people need a hand. And everybody needs our patience. Well, first, the Advent push. Admonish the idlers. In the days before the advent of Jesus Christ into our world, some of the beloved need, well, a beloved wake-up call. I can remember in my congregation when I was a minister in Montreal, there was a young woman called Hannah who actually took this verse quite literally. She'd ask people sitting in their cars with the engine running at shopping malls and on the avenues in downtown Montreal, hey, do you need the car running? She really did admonish the idlers. Idlers. I mean, what a wonderfully graphic word, right? Just sitting there with your engine running, wasting resources, no forward motion, all cozy and comfortable in your little bubble of a world and unable to get it into gear. I feel sleepy just saying that. Idlers need admonition, a loving, nonviolent shove, but a shove nevertheless. In a bubble, we can protect our own, withdraw from the world. Thank God I'm fine, all the while forgetful of those who are especially vulnerable these days. On a more personal level, I think some people live uncalled lives. Lives that forego losing your life to something bigger than your own little life. Doesn't mean that that uncalled people aren't busy. In fact, some of the busiest people in the world use busy to avoid their calling. I mean, speaking personally, I am never so productive as when I am trying to avoid the one thing I should be doing, right? It seems that it's very easy to take the sage advice of Mae West, right? Why put off to tomorrow what you can put off until the day after tomorrow? Busyness is one of the ways we drown out the voice that calls us to do the things we ought to do. It is amazing how much fluff and silliness can get done in an effort to avoid a calling. I remember one day being shocked by the words on a Starbucks cup from Bo Bronson, a football coach of all things. He said this, he said, failure is hard, but success is far more dangerous. If you're successful at the wrong thing, the mix of praise and money can lock you in forever. Whoa. It's too easy to kill time, waste time, put in time, wait this thing out, imagining that someday I'll get on what I'm made for. And then, well, and then you're 103. St. Paul tells the church at Ephesus to make the most of your time, for the days are evil. Buy up every opportunity to get on with what matters. We all have all the time there is. Whatever you do, don't lay back and drift with the current. If you go with the flow, you'll squander your days. Life is a gift. We're not practicing for another time. This is it. And so we need to beware of distractions that anesthetize and numb us in the only life we have. Sloth and inaction and idleness, they kind of move death forward right to now. For there's very little difference between living an uncalled life and not living life at all. Friends, by the grace of God, you have been placed together in this congregation. Love means that we can't leave the idol to inaction. Sometimes through loving admonition, we provide a person with the courage to find their calling and inhabit it. You could say things like, you're really good at this, and maybe you should follow up on that. And I know we all can't gather together, but we can offer these kinds of words. No, it's not too late to take that course, to try ministry, to follow up on a childhood dream or inclination. Sometimes the daring required to follow a God-given inclination comes from a loving admonition, a Holy Spirit-inspired shove. See, in church, we're not allowed to rest in the easy chair of slothful inaction because we love each other too much. We're not allowed to adopt, you know, that cultural policy of I don't care what you do as long as you don't hurt anybody. Thank God for people who love us enough, who care enough, who are pushy enough to admonish the idlers in these days before the day of our Lord. Life is a gift. Life is too precious to fritter away on the tinsel and plastic, on the smoke and mirrors that can be a part of our culture. Thank God for the people that push always and everywhere patiently and with love. A second point, St. Paul says, encourage the faint-hearted. I've called this the embrace. And it's important to note that in each case, did you notice the remedy is suited to the affliction? The faint-hearted don't need a shove, they need an embrace. Idlers need a push. Those on the verge of giving up because of overwhelming need our understanding and our sympathy. That is a crucial matter in a time like this. Care given is suited to the condition of the person who receives it. In church, we don't always play the same compassion card. Part of the act of love is to adapt ourselves to the love that someone needs. It was St. Paul who said, I have become all things to all people that I might by all means win some. Only Christian love would do this. Just wonderful when the love given accommodates itself to the care needed, since frankly, that's what God did in sending Jesus Christ. His love took on the form of the care we required. So Christians, followers of Jesus, let love take on the form of care that our neighbor needs. In these days before Christmas, joy, anticipation and excitement all swell for some. I remember fondly when I was the minister of this church in Montreal, how I could hear the choir practicing the Christmas carols before Christmas as I cheated toward that day by listening to the reverberations down the hall. But these days are not only wonderful, for many they're painful. If something's out of place in your life, if there's loss or grief, if you're on your own, well, this can be the hardest time of the year. And as we await Christmas, some of us wait without a sibling, without a close friend, without a spouse or a parent. Some of us wait for Christmas, well, wondering what the results of the test are going to be. And if you're out of work at this time of the year, estranged from your family or on your own, there's the pain of Advent and Christmas inside a lonely bubble. Encouragement is an urgent matter in these days for the faint-hearted, the despondent among us. And there's just something about the nature of the Church of Jesus Christ that doesn't, well, doesn't permit that clinical distance to open up between us. We have a God who just won't keep a professional distance. God gets downwardly mobile to comfort and heal us. And so Christians aren't permitted antiseptic arm's length love. Time's well invested with the faint-hearted. We're not fellow customers or club members or investors or acquaintances. We're brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in the church, because of baptism, I think, water is always thicker than blood. God has given us each other because some burdens are just too large for one person to bear alone. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We're free this Advent to stop and look and listen for the one who needs the Advent embrace. What a happy Christmas congruence when those who celebrate a God who could not keep a distance from the world find clever ways of coming close, yeah, without physical contact in a time like this. What happens when we understand what it means to claim God as parent and Jesus Christ as our older sibling involves coming close. There is the Advent shove, the Advent embrace, and thirdly, the Advent help hand, help the weak. Now, it's quite clear in this passage that the weak are those without strength or power and who are therefore dependent on the assistance of others. Give support to the vulnerable would be a fair translation. Advent adds urgency to the plight of the weak. In this part of the world, we don't always clearly understand that sayings like, pull yourself up by your own bootstraps and God helps those who help themselves, were never said by Jesus, that Benjamin Franklin. They're actually kind of perverse. There are people in this world who have no boots and no straps, no sinks even to wash their hands in, no structure within which to play it safe. There are people in this world who only come to know that they're children of God, that God loves them, because somebody, for God's sake, reached out to them. A few years back, I was a guest preacher at a church in Calgary, and the sermon was a dialogue sermon. You know, you sit on the stage, and the minister and I went back and forth. And the texts for the day included the story of St. Paul's conversion. You know, the story in Acts, the lights and the voice and the conversion. And the minister of that congregation said to me in front of everybody gathered there, hey, Richard, you're a theologian. What do you make of this conversion stuff? Well, I stuttered a bit at his question, and then I gave an answer from my favorite theologian, Bob Dylan. You got to serve somebody. See, it's not a matter of whether you're converted. It's a matter of whether what you're converted to is worth your life. He said, yeah, thanks for that. And then a man called Robert came to the mic. Robert wore a T-shirt that was a little too short to cover his stomach, and he looked really unkempt. He went to the pulpit and started to read deadpan without looking up from a half-written sheet of paper, lines going the wrong way. And he just read it deadpan like this. He said, I used to live on the street. I was violent. My brother and I used to roll people. And then I stumbled into a church coffee shop. The people there were kind to me and my brother. They helped me kick drugs and alcohol. It took a while. It wasn't easy for them. I disappointed them a lot. Now I live in a house, I have a dog, I'm engaged to be married. I guess God helped me. That's it. That's what I got to say. My friends in Christ, time is short. And when the time is short, the Christian church is called to help the weak. There's real urgency in this season, this second Sunday of Advent. St. Paul says, even in times like these, here is your things to-do lists. Admonish the idlers, give a loving push. Encourage the faint-hearted, give a compassionate hug, and help the weak, give a hand, and be patient with all of them. Amen.